Well, good morning, Watermark family. It is so good to be with you this morning. You know, for a number of weeks, we've been worshiping this way. Well, today we're here in the worship center at McKinley, and you're in for an incredible service. Whether you're in bed, on the couch, wherever you find yourself, get ready to worship our risen King. There's a few things I'd like to make you aware of before we jump into service. The first, to make this all look good takes a huge team of videographers coming together to shoot and get the angles and do all of that. The challenging part is we don't have a huge team. We have a few dedicated people who are here shooting the video in this room. If you're interested in coming and learning and growing and being a videographer, please let us know. We'd love to train you and get you to the place where you can be a part of the team ushering us into an incredible place of worship. You know, the coronavirus has taken our nation and actually the world by surprise. On our website, we have a page dedicated to the coronavirus. On that page, in the weeks to come, you will find FAQs and other information about our plans for reopening. So make sure you check out that page, because our hope is that by sometime this summer, we'll be back together worshiping. So check out that page on our website for more information on what that looks like for us at Watermark to reopen. As always, there's three ways to give your tithes and offerings. And before I tell you these three ways, let me say thank you. So many of you have been so faithful to the ministries here at Watermark through your giving. And because of your faithfulness, it enables us to do, well, what we're doing right now and so much else. So thank you. The three ways to give are: one, you can write a check and use your envelope and drop it in the mail right here to the church, and we'll get that. And thank you for doing it that way. The second is you can text to give. The number's on the screen, and you can text any amount to us here at the church, and we'll use it to further the Lord's work in our community. And the third way is to give online, and the instructions for that are right on the screen. So please consider giving today, as it really does enable us to do things to reach our community in incredible ways. This weekend, we remember those who gave their lives for us, for our freedom, as it's Memorial Day weekend. For those families who have loved ones who have laid down their lives, we thank you. We know that's a steep price to pay, and we want to honor those who have given their lives for the service of our country. God, we thank you that we can worship like this today, that we can come together as the body, as your family, here in the south towns of Buffalo. And Lord, as we worship today, I pray that as we're in our homes, that we would sense your very Holy Spirit opening our eyes, ears, and hearts to what you have for us today. Father, I pray that everything that happens in this space would bring glory and honor to your name. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Lord, we thank you that you are the Lord over all. God, we just worship you this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. We love you.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit. till that storm was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who had come to the Father on the store, and the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame, now this gospel truth of old, it shall not kneel, it shall not faint, by his blood.
Past 2 months have been so full of unknowns. Oftentimes the uncertainty will just grip me. And I have to turn to scripture where I'm reminded again and again of God's promises to us. He is faithful. He promises to walk with us in the darkness. We are not alone. How good our Father is. Would you just pause for a moment and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for this church community. Thank you for your promises. Lord, I ask that your message is given here today. Just still our hearts, calm our anxiety, that your words wash over us and remind us that we have you. We are yours. You are ours. And you will remain with us through the darkness to whatever is next, because we know you have a plan for us. You always have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a time of worship. Now, as we dive into the teaching, pizza and wings. Some of you are thinking, now that's a kind of church I can get behind. Others of you are like, heresy? Are you guys like coronavirus going to your brain? What are you thinking in this way? Well, one thing we've been discovering during this time has been that people are longing for some stability, some familiarity. And pizza and wings around Western New York, when all is well, that's what you do. That's what's familiar to us in that way. Some of you right now are maybe you've been playing Uno again or Monopoly, or you're going back to your childhood stories like Star Wars, or maybe you're enjoying The Last Dance and the 90s runs of the Bulls. I've been enjoying all that kind of stuff where you think, this is stable in the midst of the unknown. So we thought, in light of what we're realizing, people just longing for something familiar, we're going to spend a few weeks just looking at familiarity. Some of those anchoring texts in Scripture that just remind us of who we are and whose we are. And we thought one of the greatest ways to start is with the most popular prayer, the most well-known prayer in human history, the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. This is how Jesus words it. I'm going to be reading, there's several places in the Gospels, but in Matthew, we see in chapter 6, verse 9, he starts off, this is how you should pray. So Jesus just taught us straight out. And frankly, the first line of his prayer is really all you need to know theologically. Our Father who is in heaven. Our, we are together, we are not alone. We are not separate. This is a public prayer, a unifying prayer. This is our prayer. But this is even greater. Our Father, who's in heaven. Think about that. What that tells me is that God is revealing to us the intimacy of the Father, and yet the majestic nature of who our God is in heaven. Outside of time and space, God can handle all of this. God isn't surprised by this moment. God gets it. He sees the bigger picture. That's incredible. Which tells me, in the intimacy of God and what God is showing us theologically in the beginning of this prayer, he's intimate enough, close enough to know your deepest needs right now. But this is where it gets even better. He's grand enough, he's majestic enough to know and to have the power to fix those needs, to meet those deep-seated needs. This idea of intimacy and power, I think around the issue of Father, I think some of us, frankly, take for granted the incredible nature by which he shares who he is as Father. New Testament scholar, Jeremiah Joachim said these words as he studied the vast majority of study around ancient Near Eastern culture and literature. He said, in the vast literature that we have to this day, you cannot find one place where they talk about God as parent, as father, as mother, in any way, shape, or form. It's always a distant deity, a distant God. In that, Jesus starts off our prayer together, our Father, completely intimate, knowing exactly what you need. And then not surprised, because God is outside of time and space in heaven. He can see the past, he can see the present, he can see the future, because his vantage point is far better than ours. That's the God we pray to. That's the foundation of our prayer to our God, our Father who art, who is in heaven. Then he goes on, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. You know, hallowed just means holy, set apart, glorified. This is what's fascinating. Just his name alone is holy. I mean, you're not even talking about the grandness of God. You're talking about just the name of God is hallowed. And so it's saying the very nature of God is set apart and majestic. It's the image, and what I get as I pray this in my own spirit is that's like Moses when he has to cover his face in God going by. That's like Isaiah when he sees the temple of God filled with just the hem of the robe of God. That's the grandness and majesty, the holiness of God. That's the moment of Job when God shows him his glory and says, Job, were you there when I set the stars in place? Were you there when I filled the oceans? That's when Job stops and sees the hallowedness, the holiness of God. And he says, you be God and I'll be quiet. That's what it means to start your prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, your grandness, holy is your name. But then he takes it to a beautiful place that I think we need to be reminded of today. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. You see, God takes us to a place now of showing us what his agenda has always been. Some of you have maybe heard the phrase Missio Dei, the mission of God. And there's all sorts of teachings, and there's different ways of interpreting scripture of what the Missio Dei of God is. I want to make the claim that the mission of God is to reestablish his kingdom on earth. That's what this prayer is getting us to remind us that this world has two options for every single person. Your kingdom, personally, my own kingdom, or God's kingdom. You see, when Adam and Eve were born into this world, God said, I give you dominion over this land. This was God's kingdom. but they couldn't handle the fact that this was truly not fully theirs. It's like they wanted some of the power, but they didn't know what they wanted. They didn't know what was going on inside of them. But what it was at the core was selfishness. I want to be in control. And they gave that control over as they sinned, and they fell for the lies of the enemy, and the rest is history. Now there's two kingdoms at war. In fact, in the New Testament, we learn that the enemy, he's known as the prince of the air, the prince of this world. But here's the good news. We know who the king is. And so this prayer reminds us, it recenters us yet again. Your kingdom come. I'm not going to establish my kingdom on earth. Your will be done, God. And I think some of you, just like me, want to know, God, what is your will in the midst of this? What are you going to do with us? How are you going to navigate these roads? We're watching tragedy, and we're watching pain and suffering. And God, show me your will. Well, you know how you find God's will? It really comes down to, in Romans 12:2, it talks about the pattern of this world. Romans 12:2 says it this way: do not conform to the pattern of this world. Let me pause there for a minute. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Well, let's think about this idea of pattern before I go further into that verse here. The idea of pattern is what we're actually seeing in the Lord's Prayer. You see, the Lord's Prayer shows us a pattern by which Jesus wants us to live. And this pattern is really quite awesome. It's a pattern that's different from the pattern of the world. Here's what I mean. There's a lot of people praying to God right now, to foreign gods, to different gods, to whatever God is in their mind. There's a lot of prayer going on during COVID-19. But a lot of that prayer is a pattern toward selfishness. Dear God, I'm in trouble. Help me. Dear God, rescue me. Dear God, help me in this moment. It's all me, 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 because my kingdom is falling. My kingdom doesn't know what to do with this disease that has come in. Dear God, rescue me. That's a pattern of this world. But God establishes a different pattern. Notice how the Lord's Prayer starts off. It's all about God. It starts with, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's all about God. That's the kingdom of God mindset. That's a pattern that God wants us to get. And I want to challenge you, if right now you've just been calling out to the Lord, dear God, help me, dear God, help me. What if you reframe it differently and you say, wait a minute, I'm going to conform to the pattern of God, not to the pattern of this world where I'm just selfishly, fix me with all my fear. We pray this, Lord, I just want to see your glory. I just want to see you. I want to see your majesty. I want to see your kingdom come. Not mine. If I live or if I die, if I get sick or if I'm healthy, if I have tragedy around me, God, it's your kingdom. It's not my kingdom. That sets things straight. Because then Romans 12:2 goes on, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So good. It sets you straight. How do you know God's will? That's what Jesus is telling us to pray. You pray the pattern of God, not the pattern of the world. God, you're the one who's holy. You're the one whose kingdom I want to live for, not my kingdom. I think this is really calling out where your faith is at right now. Is your faith in trying to just survive, or isn't your faith in a place where you want to thrive in the kingdom of God, whether you live or whether you die? And I hope we, of course, live. Of course, we hope for that. We're going to pray for that. But we pray for that as secondary. Primary is God. Primary is God's will. Primary is God's kingdom. Then, notice how it goes. The prayer then continues on. It shifts to now requesting around your needs. Give us today our daily bread. Oh, so good. I love this prayer. Because now what God teaches us is that we can actually, this is going to sound strange, but this is an imperative. This is a command verse. I've struggled with it because it's like Jesus is teaching us to say, give me bread, give me my basic needs, God. And I've wrestled with it for years, but finally it clicked for me through some times of prayer and conversation, and it just clicked. Why does God allow us to command for basic needs? Give us, give me. It sounds like a spoiled brat. But think about family. You see, this goes back to that initial beginning part of the prayer. Our Father, the intimate language, the intimacy, the closeness that we have with God. You see, what does family do? Family actually establishes a sense that you're welcome here. You are a part of us. You're obliged to be cared for. And so this prayer is actually not very, it's not selfish at all. Because I always thought, why don't we say please or thank you in it? Well, because when you're in the family, you're welcome to receive. You're expected to receive. You're expected to be cared for. My kids don't come down for breakfast and say, oh, Dad, please, Father, if you will beseech thee, give me a slice of bread. They don't ever do that, not even once. Never once I've begged for God to have my kids be that gentle and kind. No, they come in and say, what'd you do with the bagels, Dad? Or did you eat them again? You know, see, they expect that I'm going to care for them because they're in my family. That's what God expects for us. You're in the family of God. So give me my basic needs, God. I still say please or thank you to God in those moments. I still do. But Jesus tells us, just ask. Just say, give me the bread because I'm part of the family. This establishes us as home. Do you realize how good this is? This is familiarity. Like I'm home. I can kick my shoes off and I can rest in the comfort of my Father's house. So good. So necessary. Then he shifts in the prayer and continues to go into our needs. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. This is fascinating to me because God assumes you're going to forgive other people's debts. That's awesome. In other words, you're going to not hold things over people. God assumes you're going to do that. So as a child of God, if he's going to give us our daily bread, he assumes that you're going to be mature and you're going to be stepping up in grace as you follow in your Heavenly Father's footsteps day by day through following the ministry of Jesus Christ to us in this world through the Holy Spirit. Amazing growth and maturity. This is why we talk around Watermark about spiritual growth stages, because we expect you'll grow up. I expect that Jesus says, I'm going to forgive you as you forgive other debtors. But this idea of debt is interesting too, because many people then think, oh, okay, so my mortgage payment's going to be paid for. That's really, I don't think, what Jesus is getting into here. Debt, let's just think about that. Many of you have maybe seen the Dave Ramsey show. I used to have a radio station where I'd listen to it from time to time, and people would call in and say, I'm debt free, and they would scream, and there's all this cheering, and it's really encouraging. You get goosebumps. You hear people that had disciplined their lives and they got out of debt, and there's just great celebration. And I mean, that's fantastic and very encouraging. Or you look right now and we're talking about all the care that the government's doing for the country. And I mean, there's a lot of really debate about how things are being handled and stuff. It's really complicated. But our debt as of right now is around $25 trillion. And if the math plays out right, that's $76,000 owed per every man, woman, and child in our country. What in the world? I can't even get my mind around those kinds of numbers. And that number keeps increasing. And so you think about debt and you go down those roads. But I think Jesus is getting to a much deeper debt. I believe he's talking heavily about the debt of sin. That is what we need right now. Forgive us our debt, our trespasses, our sins. I want to read to you from Colossians 2. This is verses 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, your debt, right? Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. When Jesus challenges us to pray, our debts be forgiven, I believe he's talking about that which separates you from God. What a powerful prayer. God, forgive me of my sins. As you challenge me to forgive those who sin against me, who hurt me, it's an incredible gift we've been given. Don't ever take for granted the power of this. I mean, you think about the national debt of our country, that's nothing compared to the debt, truly, of sin that leads to hell itself, death itself. You are forgiven when you follow Jesus Christ by giving him your life. And then Jesus actually finishes the prayer in a way that many people misunderstand, really. Jesus says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This is so fascinating because many of us who grew up in traditional churches would have then, we pray, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Those words were actually added by King James 1,600 years later. Jesus actually ends the prayer, "But deliver us from the evil one." And then Jesus actually shifts into this whole idea of forgiveness. And he says, this is the very next verse at the end of the Lord's Prayer as we've ended it, and then added the doxology in the 1600s, and now we have Jesus following up with, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So Jesus actually ends the prayer, and then he goes into another thought in a way that a lot of us really, really miss. So let me take you into what I believe he's really trying to get at here. You see, the petition, this prayer that Jesus teaches us, actually has seven petitions in it. It really starts off with the whole idea from the beginning of saying, "God, I want to ask for seven things. May your name be holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done." And then he goes into really four more requests. "Give us our daily bread." Notice, as the first three are the pattern of put your eyes on God, his kingdom, and then your needs will be met. But notice how it deals with all of your life. "Give us our daily bread," which is really present tense. Give me what I need just for today. Manna. Give me the manna from heaven for today. My basic needs. Not my basic greeds. I know so many people are like, prosperity, give me, give me, give me, give me. That's, again, the pattern of this world. God, just give me what we need. And then he goes so beautifully into forgive debts, which is really dealing with the past. And then lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. The last two requests are future. So your past sins are forgiven. Your present needs are met. And the evil one who will trip you up and lead me not into temptation. This idea of God leading us, we know God doesn't tempt us. He tells us that in other places in Scripture. God doesn't tempt us, but he does lead us. And so what this prayer Jesus is teaching us to pray is say, God, may I follow so closely to you. God, don't even take me to the edge. Don't even get me near any of this. Keep me from evil. Keep me from the evil one causing me any kind of stumbling. And this whole idea of forgiveness is this idea of a complete surround and care. Like Jesus is challenging us to surrender our past, our present, our future, all to him, that we can trust him to truly keep us holy as his name and his essence of his being is hallowed, is holy. And I love the fact that he ends the prayer around the whole issue of the temptation to carry sin or to carry unforgiveness towards somebody else. And for him to then follow up the prayer by talking about forgiveness is really so powerful for us today. One of the things I've learned through these 10 weeks of being in a time of stay-at-home orders, I've been learning that I used to major on the minors. No more. I've held grudges at times with people that now I see going through some tough times. I've been through a couple of really painful times with death and with tragedy, walking with other people through times of great torment and pain. And what this time has reminded me is that this world and life is so short. This is the only time we're going to be living in bodies that are prone to wander, that are prone towards sin. But I love the fact that God is resetting everything for us. And it's my hope that just through talking through and studying through the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, I know it's familiar. I know some of you have prayed it infinite times. But I hope what's happened is there's been a recentering for you and a reminder of how this familiar prayer is loaded with everything you need right now. And as we're learning that this world is short, and frankly, we don't know about the future, so why not deal with any of these issues that God is bringing to your spirit right now? If you're carrying grudges against somebody, this world is too short. Forgive them. Call them. Zoom on with them, and you can see their face, and you can cry together. And humble yourself before the Lord. He's the one who's holy. It's his kingdom. You want to see his kingdom come? Then start with him, and he's going to challenge you. Deal with these issues. This is the time. This is the place. You've got some breathing room. So if you're harboring anything, I mean, Jesus said it so clearly, if you don't forgive others, how can your Heavenly Father forgive you? So live in this. This is what's so great. God will give you the daily bread of what you need, the sustenance spiritually to deal with this. It's great. You're not alone. This is our prayer to our Father. So we're all in this together. So my prayer is that, as Pastor Paul shared just a little while ago, that our hope is that we can gather sooner than we were thinking and we get a chance to see each other face to face. My hope is that I see a renewed person, fresh and alive again. Holy, as our God is holy, set apart as a child of God in the family of God. I'd be honored if you'd join me in praying right now as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who hold debt, who hold sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, protect us from the evil one. Lord God, if we harbor any unforgiveness because the evil one has tripped us up and divided us, God, help us to use this time to forgive, to release that poison that is in us, to find your healing from the inside out. I thank you for this familiar prayer. May it be as comforting and filling to us as anything that we can tangibly do to connect with you right now. And so I pray for anyone who has not yet prayed the prayer to follow you. Lord Jesus, I pray that they will ask for forgiveness of their sin and start following you all the days of their lives as they release their life to you and become a child of God. I pray protection over each of our families. I pray protection over our homes and in our workplaces. As we dream about what can come in the future, God, we pray for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd invite you to go to the website. And on the top there of our website at watermarkwesleyan.com, it says following Jesus and knowing Jesus. Feel free to click that and we can together connect with you. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You were hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. What a powerful time of worship. If you could do me a favor and share this on social media or share the link from our website so others can see it and have the same experience we did, we would really appreciate that. Before we go, there's three things that I'd like to bring you in on to help you in your walk with Jesus this week. First, we're putting together sermon discussion guides for this series that are located on our community groups page or on our website where you would download this message. In this guide are questions and thoughts that will help you further process what we talked about today. So please check that out. Use that in your community group or your own personal study as a way to really dive into the Lord's Prayer and continue this journey that we began this morning. The second, ever since coronavirus began, we've been doing family night online. Well, this week we're changing it up a little bit, and from this point forward, we're going to do family night online on Mondays and Wednesdays. We know the weather's getting better. People want to be outside, and there's so much to engage in our world. So we really want to focus our time on these two nights. So please tune in on Mondays and Wednesdays. Some nights will be focused on the weekend messages. Others will be from those of us on the preaching team, just sharing what the Lord has laid on our heart. So please continue to check out Family Night Online on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then somebody in our church recently had a holy disturbance that I think has the potential to change our entire region. Out of this holy disturbance was birthed Pray Western New York. And the idea is the 21 days between Mother's Day and Pentecost, churches from across our region would take a day and fast from 6 p.m. one night to 6 p.m. the following day. Well, at Watermark, we've decided to take every Sunday during this time period. So tonight at 6 o'clock, I'm asking you to fast. For some of you that may be fasting from food, from some it may be fasting from electronics and all kinds of media. For some it just might resting and focusing your soul attention on the Lord. So please consider how you might fast tonight. And as you fast, pray that the Lord would heal our land. Pray that the things that the government and everybody can't seem to figure out, that the Lord would take those things and heal our land. The cases would go down, the hospitalization rates would go down, that people would be healed, that we would see the Lord's glory. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. I hope and pray that the Lord's Prayer becomes the song of your heart this week, and you just say it over and over again. Have a great week as you love and serve our risen Savior.